Hello and welcome to the Transmedia Podcast. This is me, Robert Pratton, and you can find me online on Twitter as Rob Pratton. And with me today, I'm absolutely delighted because it took a long time for the two of us to sync up online with our diaries haven't crossed. It's Yvette Vargas. Yvette, hello.
Hello, Robert. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, and particularly delighted to have you on the show. I'm sorry it took so long to get you on, because you've been doing some amazing stuff, and why don't you introduce yourself and tell us what your latest news is?
Sure, definitely. Well, you know, my name is Yvette Vargas. I live in Los Angeles. I'm originally from New York, and I am a writer, director, producer, and a multi-platform content creator. And what that means is that I tell stories across a variety of mediums and platforms, like television and social media and mobile apps and comic books and music and virtual reality. So, you know, really, it's for me, it's about story first and storytelling, and then the platform or the medium is secondary. And I do that at my company, Digital Reign, and that's R-E-I-G-N. And I am the co-founder and CEO of Digital Reign, and basically everything that I just explained, telling stories across different platforms, I do that for our clients, which are basically the studios and production companies and music oriented companies. I'm afraid to say labels anymore, because it's basically just a few big music conglomerates in the world, and they basically own most of the labels. And it used to be video game companies. We used to do a lot of video games, and now definitely it's more in the mobile app and gaming space and online gaming space. So create a lot of that. And when I say that, it's the UI, the UX, the designing, as well as the experiences, and even into the coding. I mean, we basically cover everything at my company. It's a one-stop shop from the inception of a project all the way through to final production in all the different mediums. So that's been our expertise, and we really have a niche on the market. We're known for really high quality work, unique out of the box kind of content and experiences, and we really expand a story or an IP. Let's just say that a studio will come and say we're going to release this feature film during this time period. What can we do to really expand that story on other mediums? And then ultimately, how can we monetize on that? So we build in monetization strategies with every single medium. So you're just in the black from the beginning all the way through, and hopefully you really grow in the black, by the end. So that's what we do at the company, and that's definitely my personal expertise. And then we have a whole other side of the company where we create original content. And that's the stuff, obviously, that today we're going to really be focused on. Again, with my background being writing, directing, and also designing, my background is, I came out of the womb drawing and painting. And yes, and so everything was visual storytelling for me. And then I started writing, actually, in junior high school. I fell in love with the short story format. And, I didn't realize it at the time, but what is a short story? It's basically the blueprint of a feature film, some kind of cinematic storytelling. And then I started writing short stories about the artwork that I was creating. And then I started creating artwork about the stories that I was writing. And that's how the two came together. I started out, I went to art school first in New York, where I'm from, FIT. And I studied design and graphic design and interactive design, all of that good stuff. And, I literally learned how to create a website in a day from in a media format. And it just really came naturally to me. But after 2 years of that, I ended up I wanted to, really work. So I started working in the industry, and it was going really, really well. But I really had this driving desire to tell stories. my own stories. So then I decided to, you know, go to NYU, New York University, Tisch School of the Arts for directing. And I, you know, so I ended up transferring from FIT to NYU. And then I spent 3 years at NYU in the directing program. And that's where it really all came together, because I was writing my my scripts for my shorts. And then I was building all of this kind of interactivity into them. So I literally have been a digital storyteller and a traditional storyteller simultaneously from the very beginning of of my cinematic career and education and all of that. I mean, interestingly enough, when I was at school at NYU, while I was learning all the traditional ways of and disciplines of how to create story and short films and television productions, I was also learning all of the digital disciplines at the time. Like, for example, I was editing short films on the Steam Deck in one class, and then the next class I was editing on the Avid. So it was just, you know, I really had this very interesting marriage and background of both traditional and what was on like the bleeding edge of the edge from the very beginning. And with my art background in particular, in interactive design, I've just been able to really carry that all the way through, which brings us here to the, you know, storytelling in the 21st century. And which is literally that, you know, which is multi-platform storytelling, because, you know, this is where we are, this is where the audience is at, and this is how, as creators, producers, we really need to tell stories, because, this is how we're speaking to the audience today, this is how we're monetizing today, and this is how, you know, we're basically inspiring, the next generation of storytellers.
So Yvette, tell us about the IP that you've had a lot of success with.
Yes. 2 years ago, I started creating a, what's interesting, it started out as a digital series called Dark Prophet, which is a sci-fi action thriller, and it's about this music genius who creates music mathematically the way that Mozart did, and he crunches his numbers in his head. He's a coder. Like Good Will Hunting, and he, the whole story focuses on his ability, you know, creating music mathematically. He is a grad student, and there's a corporation that comes to him and offers him as his senior thesis project to turn math formulas into songs, which he does really, really well. So after about a year of this, he actually cracks a master code, you know, a cipher that's hidden in the math, and he discovers that encrypted in that math are government top secrets. And he's been turning those top secrets into songs all this time, and uh-huh. this company that he's been working for is actually just a front for this covert government agency that is acting on its own. They're acting rogue, and they basically want to trigger world war and eventually take over the world and control it through cyber intelligence. And unbeknownst to him, he's been helping them do that. So once the agency discovers that he has cracked this master code and he knows what they're on to, they go after him and they end up framing him for his girlfriend's murder. And he is forced to go underground and become the musical artist known as Dark Prophet, and through his own music, which he distributes through his DJ friend and through digital downloads and through, you know, tech culture, pop culture, he now includes his own secrets in his songs. So if you are listening to his music on your smartphone and, you know, any device, literally there's a, you know, the math that's in the songs will basically just decipher and, you know, turn into words and basically give you, some kind of order, a call to action to stop this government agency from literally putting their plan in place of taking over the world. So he is building his own army through club culture, pop culture, tech culture, and that's basically the story.
And like, I know that there's a web series, which is, like, let's say, like, the core platform of it, but what other platforms have you got with this?
Yeah, yes, started out as a web series, but interestingly enough, Robert, we actually ended up premiering at the Sundance Film Festival last year, 2014, and then from there, we actually got picked up by a DirecTV channel called Launch TV. So we were in the digital space. We weren't like only a web series for a very long time. We went straight for a few hours.
Exactly. From premiere straight to
exactly. We pretty much went straight to TV. And with all of that, you know, I've been building the various platforms, the other storytelling, distribution channels for Dark Prophet. We have a comic book that premiered last year at San Diego Comic-Con as well as New York Comic-Con. We're also developing a virtual reality comic book series. We have music, about five original songs that we've developed for the property. We have an app that we're in beta for, and with eight other apps to follow. We have merchandising, live experiences, original content that we distribute only in social media. So it is truly a multi-platform franchise, and it was so from the very beginning. And now, you know, I've actually partnered with a Canadian company called Myth Merchant Films, and we are starting to develop the one-hour television series.
Oh, wow. Very good. And let's look at the sort of the creative process, Yvette. How have you, integrated these different platforms into the core sort of narrative?
Yes. From the very beginning of any kind of original content that I create, you know, given my whole background, Robert, which has been in so many different storytelling and so many different mediums, I literally, the ideas that I come up with IP, with storytelling, they naturally, you know, just all of the different ways of being able to expand the story across different platforms and how to integrate those stories so that, you know, you could be learning a clue in the app and you could be getting some backstory in the comic book, you know, et cetera, where everything works. I literally conceive everything like that from the very, very, very beginning and plan all of that out between the story world and the story Bible, all of that development work happens at the very beginning. And then basically, once I have that in place, I select the part of the story, because we really are talking about a story that expands over an epic timeline. So there's a clear beginning, middle, and end of the epic story, and then it's really about deciding what sliver of the story, what portion of the story am I going to kick off my franchise with? And then once you do that, so let's just say that you're starting in the middle and actually, Lucas with Star Wars is a really great example of this, where he had this huge epic story, but he started, you know, basically with episodes 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
So
still the best ones, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. Not a great form. We'll see what happens now with 7, 8, and 9. So you decide what portion of the story is going to be the most compelling and the best way to kick off your entire epic storyline in your story world. So once you do that, then you start planning out your phases of the rollout of how you're actually going to start that story and then how you could grow it. So in your initial phase one, that, you know, you could have the digital series with a comic book tie-in, some original content in social media, and possibly an app. I mean, that could be your first phase rollout, which you think you can really grow an audience and monetize, and hopefully your content is strong so you can get some critical acclaim in there, because the three together between audience monetization and critical acclaim, that's how you can be extremely successful with creating these franchises and growing them. Certainly, audience and monetization leading the way, but critical acclaim could actually feed both of those and really help grow them. But once you decide what this rollout plan is, you know, then obviously, you know, you start, uh, you premiere it and you plan, how the different platforms can support each other. You know, perhaps in the social media space, you're doing something really, really interesting there that builds a buzz for the premiere of the digital series. I mean, you know, it works so many different ways, but you definitely have your first rollout, media rollout plan. And once you grow it to a certain, phase, then you move on to the, stage, sorry. Once you grow to a certain stage that's successful, then you unfold rollout, media rollout plan 2 and 3 and 4. And, so that's basically how it works. And, for me and for us here at Digital Rain, it's always about being in the black from the very beginning and really, really growing that. And with multi-platform storytelling, we have so many opportunities to monetize on every medium. And going back to the very definition of multi-platform storytelling, it's basically telling a story across multiple media formats and really understanding that media formats are monetizable. And it's really about, digging in, looking at traditional models that are established and tried and true that work in terms of monetization. And then there's so many opportunities to connect dots with what's already there, leveraging new models that are working and creating new ones. I think it's an incredibly exciting time for creators to produce their own content, do it really smartly, and just continue to, to grow their IP.
So with the, if we look specifically at the comic book, how have you decided what content goes in there? Like, what part of the story? And
the comic book is actually the part of the story that it's backstory from what we started with in the digital series. The comic book focuses on how the character, whose name is Dave Shepherd, how he actually becomes Dark Prophet. So
it's like an origin, sort of like a prequel.
Yes, exactly. He definitely. He's in hiding at this point. It's like literally right after his girlfriend was murdered and he's forced to go into hiding. That's where we pick up the story in the comic book.
Is it like a physical comic book or is it like a digital comic book?
It's both. What's interesting is that we have a bundle that, you basically will buy the comic book as well as a cardboard virtual reality viewer.
Yeah.
And then the virtual reality episode actually gives you an extension, an interactive experience of that particular issue. So everything ties in, Robert, and just gives you more and more and more and also gives the fans opportunities to really become part of the storytelling.
So and what made you decide to do the comic book, for example? So you've created this TV show that's been picked up, and then you decided to do the comic book. So, but why? What was the motivation for that?
The story. The story just lends itself so well to the comic book medium. And also doing research in the space in terms of what kinds of content was out there, Dark Prophet was just this rich, ripe, unique story that wasn't really represented in the comic book space. So, it was, really, truly organically came out of the story.
And tell me about the VR thing. So what happens if I get a copy of the book, the comic book?
Yeah.
There's like a scannable thing on the back.
Well, you actually enter a code. You're definitely given a link, and you enter a code that unlocks the VR content, which will play on your smartphone device, and basically you slip the smartphone device into the cardboard VR viewer, and you're able to watch and interact.
Oh, that's it. You mean like Google Cardboard?
Correct. Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay. Right. Because it's sort of that cardboard viewer. I was imagining like the stiffness that you get in the comic books just to make sure they stand up right. Sorry.
It's fine.
So the VR work that you've done, like what made you, like how does that relate to the TV show and the comic book? Well, how did you decide which bits to sort of bring to life through the VR, through the comic?
Well, you know, again, and always going back to what is my story? What is my hook? What is unique about my story? And given that, you know, the main character, he is a coder and he works very much in the cyber world. There's just for a virtual reality extension of the Dark Prophet mythology just makes a lot of sense. So in terms of experiencing the story from a VR, it literally puts the viewer in the driver's seat from the POV of the main character as well as some of the other characters, and you get to go really deep and immersive into this cyber world. So it just makes sense. Again, going back to what is organic for your story, what can truly enhance it and grow it, you know, in a way that really speaks to what the content is, and you're reaching, you know, potentially even new and different audiences that you would not reach, you know, if you didn't explore that medium. So it's you're always looking at all sides of it in terms of, and starting with, and most importantly, what is my story and how is it best told? And then secondly, in terms of the, you know, the different audiences for those mediums, how, you know, how can I reach them and how can I tell them my story on that platform that will really compel them to engage? You know, because really when you are creating multi-platform storytelling, what is key is that per media format, you should make the best content possible that's going to compete with other content in those mediums. So for example, if you are creating a comic book, do your research, find out what's in the space. And if your comic book and your story and your characters, you know, are not being represented, then, you know, certainly, I mean, that's a great indicator to move forward. But also, if you're going to make a comic book, make a great comic book that can stand on its own and, you know, and compete with everything else. If you're going to make an app game, make a great app game that, again, can stand on its own. In virtual reality, make a great virtual reality content and experience that's going to stand on its own, because that will really speak for itself in terms of why you even chose those platforms to explore the story to begin with. But you just never know where a particular viewer or audience is going to come into your story. Like, what is the entry point? So, but everything, Robert, really comes back to the richness of your story, knowing it and understanding how best to tell your story on different platforms. If you're really doing that in a very honest and organic way, you're more than halfway there.
And like, I imagine there's lots of people with, you know, that's creating a show. You know, they might start with a web series and they hope that they get picked up, but they can see that sort of progression. But then creating a comic book, all they might see is just the cost. And then to have a comic book and have to do the VR component, that's another cost. So how are you, like, when you're looking at the business model, does each platform need to stand alone, or do you see them as sort of collateral, really, to increase the revenue on the main sort of TV channel side?
No, I mean, every platform definitely needs to stand alone financially. Basically, you know, like, our model is being in the black from the beginning, so we go out and we find the partners, you know, whether it's investors or sponsors, brands, et cetera, that, you know, can fund, you know, can certainly fund, and then we move on from there and build in then monetization vehicles to really leverage, you know, revenue. So absolutely, it's about being in the black from the beginning.
So do you think, like, if you look at the different distribution for those two to those platforms, do you think it's more likely that someone might come in contact with the comic book first before the show, or vice versa?
You know, it's whatever in terms of you know, your audience. The entry point really just depends on that particular audience member. Which mediums they're interacting with every single day. So, you know, the avid comic book readers, you know, if you want to reach those, you know, that particular group, then, you know, you definitely start marketing to that group or certainly make that particular area aware of your content. And hopefully you're doing a really great job on that platform that they're so inspired and intrigued that then they want to learn more. And then, you know, that can drive traffic to the digital series and, or, you know, the app, or the, you know, the music. And that's really ideally what you want to be doing. You know, always telling a great story per medium, and hopefully it's so rich and compelling and inspiring enough that then the users are basically then entering the story through a variety of different entry points.
Are you trying to, like, because I've spoken to some creators, and obviously it's going to vary, like, you know, from property to property, but they felt like their audiences were very sort of like polarized in a way, that there wasn't much crossover, that they had an audience for like one platform and an audience for another platform, and they didn't actually see many going over. Have you been able to look at that at all? I mean, are you able to track or get some indication of when people have seen one medium and crossed over?
Yeah, no, we have a tremendous amount of crossover, but we build it all in, you know, Robert. Like, for instance, in the comic book, we have ads about the digital series and the apps. You know, I mean, we basically are promoting the other mediums where you can get, where you can get more of the story, and vice versa all the way around. On every single, in every single media format, we are promoting the other platforms, the other mediums as well, and right into the stories. I mean, we are integrating stories. So, you know, for those particular viewers that really get it, they're picking up clues, they're picking up information from the different mediums that they can then go to another medium and plug it in or interact or just be more knowledgeable and really understand more about the story. So, you know, you need to really build all of this stuff in. You're definitely not working in a vacuum. It's all about one big epic story and how you're telling that big epic story across multiple mediums.
I think with this story, the fact that you know, it's about music and coding the music, it feels like it's a no-brainer to think, well, we're going to have like a disco, we're going to have a live music event and so on. And how have you approached that, you know, in terms of, because you can have a music event, but how do you get the story into the event?
Yeah, it's themed. No, we definitely have thought about that, and we're in the process of putting some of that in place. We're you know, as I mentioned, we're working on the album right now. So, you know, definitely in terms of a musical live event, you know, a DJ event, which again organically ties in to the story.
And would the music come out under the kind of pseudonym of the character, or how's that going to go?
The music is definitely going to come out under the, you know, the brand, the IP brand for sure, and you know, and then just the artists, you know, the different artists that are involved, you know, those will be singles as well as available. They're available under the album.
And are there going to be codes in there? I'm going to be able to decipher the...
Yes. everything ties is in for sure.
So, you know, if you get it printed on vinyl, then I'll be expecting to play it in reverse in order to get the
you spin.
It's very old school, yeah. But you know, if Disney can get away with it on Sarah Thatcher's project, I'm sure with a double grooved album, vinyl's not dead.
So. No, it's not. No, in fact, it's had such a purpose. So. It's wonderful. Yeah, no, for sure.
And with the when you're looking at an app for this project, how do you see the app in terms of like its role in the story world and the utility that you're going to give to the audience? How did you approach that?
Well, you know, the app basically just comes right out of the story, because in the story, you know, the main character, Day Shepherd, also known as Dark Prophet, he creates an app so that, you know, his listeners can actually crack the master, or, you know, the secret, the text message that he hides in his songs. So that particular app that he creates is the app of Dark Prophet. So, you know, so you're actually interacting with music and cracking a master code and unraveling the secrets. So it was already built into the story.
Fantastic. And in terms of where the app fits alongside the show, is there like an episodic nature to the app? Should I be using it at a particular time, or is it just up for me when it, you know, independent almost of the story that's in the show?
Yeah, it's definitely twofold. The app, and we're, you know, as I mentioned, we're in beta, but it will be available, you know, whenever you want to interact with it and play the game, you know, et cetera. But absolutely, it's also episodic. There will be opportunities, you know, when you are watching the series or reading something in the comic book, that then you can just go to the app actually and enter some information that will unlock some secret content, and then you can just go from there.
Okay. And so the last piece you mentioned, the one hour show, what sort of area of the story would that deal with? What's the plan for that?
Well, that is it's going to have a little bit of just the origin story of the grad school student who discovers the secrets, and then, you know, his life turns upside down. So we'll start a little bit with that origin story, but then get right into basically his underground world and network and building his own army to stop the government agency. So it gets into the action, you know, really, really quickly, but we do start with a little bit of origin story.
So is it intended for people that have never seen the other show?
Yes, absolutely. But it's told in a very, you know, different way. Like, actually, the origin story is more of, we get it through flashback. So, you know, we're very much in the present day of him building his network. But you know, we through flashbacks and a couple of other storytelling devices, non-linear storytelling devices, we'll get the backstory in there.
Okay, cool. So just, I guess this might be a last question, but how have you approached the community building? Like, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, you know, what we do is definitely create original content and we use the, you know, social media platforms to deploy it. So we're definitely giving fans and potential fans story, you know, reasons to connect and come back and check us out, because we're giving them more, you know, more story. And just to give you an example, you know, we create talk shows, 30-second talk shows or couple-minute interviews with the, you know, both cast and crew and actors in also in character, the musicians. And we also have, like, storylines, you know, like, for instance, we have a journalist. We have a series of, you know, starring a journalist who's literally uncovering the story of Dark Prophet. So whenever her episodes are deployed, which they can be 30 seconds or a minute, those episodes are of her latest and greatest breaking news on the story. So we really use social media as an extension of the story.
And have you set a particular hub that we should send people to?
We have a couple of hubs. One is darkprofituniverse.com, and then on Twitter we're at Hear the Warning. You know, we definitely have a Facebook page, and have an Instagram page, and everything is pretty much Hear the Warning. That's the tagline of Dark Prophet.
Okay, very cool. And what do you like? Who writes everything? Have you got different writers for different platforms, or are you doing it all?
I've been doing it all so far. Once we move into the 1 hour television series, you know, obviously that'll change. But thus far, I've been doing it all.
And how does that feel? You mean, do you feel overwhelmed sometimes, or are you just very pleased that you don't have to compromise with anyone else mucking it up?
You know, there have been times where I've been overwhelmed. there's no question. But you know, the great thing and the saving grace thus far, Robert, is because I did so much of the development work that it's really about digging back into those bios and digging back into the Bible and all of the different, material that I had. So it's really there. You know, I'm never starting with a blank page.
Really good. So give me an idea of the timeline. So where are we now in terms of what's released and what we can see, and then what's the sort of rollout now heading up, say, to Christmas?
Well, right now, I mean, certainly, there are short episodes of the digital series on YouTube. Daily Motion was actually in the digital space. That's the platform where we premiered some short 11 short episodes of the digital series. So Daily Motion, you can find Dark Prophet there. We have a YouTube channel that has not officially launched, but definitely you can go in and start checking out some content there. On DirecTV, we're on a channel called Launch TV, and you can watch some of our content there. They also have a Roku channel with DirecTV, so you can try to find us there. And for the comic book, we're literally creating this virtual reality series. So we're looking at the end of this year, for launching that episode series. If not, it'll be early in 2016. Okay. And in terms of the 1 hour, we're literally just working on that now.
Very good. No, it's really good. Thanks, Yvette. And where can people find you?
I'm at on Twitter. I'm at Vargas. GRL, so it's Vargas Girl, but that's GRL. And on Facebook, under Yvette Vargas. And then my company website, that's digital-rein.net.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Yvette. Excellent. Thank you, Robert. This was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful interview, and it was worth the wait.
Good.